Okay, being that we're coming into 5 o'clock here, we should start the study session regarding the downtown revitalization update. Is there a presentation for us?
Greg Berg will be here to present the efforts of Cascade Engineering today.
Okay.
Mayor, Council, thanks for having us. Just as an introduction, and Sam assures me that the projector back there just broke, like it just like just for me just broke, but hopefully the PowerPoint comes through on these okay. If there's any questions, please let me know. Cascade Engineering Group, a small engineering firm out of Bellingham, Washington. That's who we are. I'm Greg Berg, and I like to use the line that I've been a registered professional engineer since last century, 1996. So, you know, it's like it's getting further into the year. So the purpose, I'm here today to discuss the Peace Portal Drive revitalization project from Clark Street to Marine Drive, effectively Blaine's Main Street. And we're working on this project with the city staff in a deliberate steps and stages to ensure the project is viable and constructible, as well as meets the city's goals and requirements. So as things that we're going to discuss today develop, there'll be more task orders that you'll see, and we're doing the project very slowly and very deliberately to try to make sure that it is something that can be successful. So the first thing that we did was we started off with doing some assessments, and the first one was contaminated soils. We looked at the hazardous material history of the site and known. And this is only a portion of the report that I've cut into the slide here. But basically what the city has now, and we've provided this to Public Works, is it has, for that area, it has what the risks are. And basically when we looked at the site, there's 9 potential contaminated properties. 1 was high risk, 2 were moderate risk, and the remaining 6 sites were considered low risk. So why you do this is that when you do this, you give the information to construction contractors up front. They're ready to deal with hazardous materials and contaminated soils as part of the initial bid, and you save money as opposed to finding something down the road. The good news is that we found we can pretty much do surface work. Probably surface and the trees is what we're limited to without really worrying about contaminated soils somewhere in the roadway. So an interesting part of this was that we found, and this is definitely an eye chart, and I apologize for that, but we found that the Sanborn map showed that the areas of Blaine are a lot of fill. And so I've put 2 red boxes, a couple of interesting points. One, it labeled the gulch that's in the upper right, and that was a very large area that they filled. And then you'll notice that the railroad in the box to the left, the railroad used to be on piles, and that the harbor was much closer to the buildings than it is today. The reason that we pointed this out, and our contractor, geoengineers, wanted to point it out, is 100 years ago, some things seemed like really good ideas. And they would put fill and material of unknown origin in places. And so the simple fact is you could find almost anything, and it shouldn't be that big of a surprise because it was fill material. So the next thing that we did was a cultural resources report. And this is looking at the historic areas of downtown. And I'll spare you the process and the report, which is about 30 pages, but the letter came in from Historic Prevention, and basically the good news was nothing was found in the area, and the less good news is that monitoring is required because of the historic use of the project, the human history of the area, not of the project. The human history of the area, kind of, you might find cultural resources in the area. So then the next thing that we did was using a local, we started off with the historic drawings, we used a local survey firm, and we also used our staff because we created surface maps, and this is just an example of one of the surface maps. And these have far more detail than your typical surface survey. They include the benches and all the different things in the trees and things along those lines. We also had discussions with the city staff. There's been several previous studies that have been done looking at the downtown area and potential like that. So we're also trying to incorporate those to the best of our ability. Some of them go back to like 2013, and trying to make sure that we know the history and that the city doesn't pay for the same thing twice. And based on these maps, our landscape architect, Paul George, is starting to work on designs to rework the streetscape. So he's starting to work on designs for everybody to review. But we do have to talk about the past a little bit. And this is part of why I'm here to give you an update, is that when we look at the past, and this is a screenshot from one of the drawings from the 1932 WashDOT project. And when we were doing our historic work with WashDOT, what we discovered is, especially on the west side of Peace Portal, there's been these historic retaining walls. And I don't expect anybody to be able to read, but the red underlined portion says, cement, rubble, masonry wall, retaining wall, type 4. All right, and I attempted to find out what a type 4 retaining wall was in 1932, and I didn't have a whole lot of luck. As you know, engineers like to use like type 1, type A, type B, and then sometimes the details get lost in time. And that's kind of what's happened here. But in one of our site visits, we did find part of this wall kind of disintegrating. So part of that wall still exists, and it's part of this project. This was the project that originally brought the concrete roadway into Blaine and widened it. So then we go forward to 1979, when LID 6 was done by Blaine. And this is the portion of the drawing set for the project that reworked the Peace Portal. Kind of, it did some overlays. It put an asphalt on top of the concrete roadway. And the red boxes are around the upper thing says end wall. That's where the retaining wall ends. And if you follow that line down, that's where the retaining wall is. And the box says, the red box says, the bid item for type B retaining walls. Here we go with another type of retaining wall. Type B retaining walls includes removal of the existing undersidewalk support structure. So in some areas, they've just added a retaining wall next to the retaining wall. Some areas, they also took it out. So unfortunately, because we couldn't find the details, this led to more questions than answers. So we started some site visits. And we've been in every basement of the buildings along Peace Portal, if there is a basement. And I got to be honest with you, the building owners were very happy to have us, and they were very helpful. Showing us what's going on. But I won't use an example of an existing building. This is the building in the 600 block of Peace Portal that has actually been removed. This building, I'm not sure when it was torn down, but this is an example. And up at the top, you can see the automobiles, and that's the walkway that you probably, or the handrail that you probably know from Blaine. And the sidewalk railing, you can see the existing sidewalk is right there. So the next thing I have to do is give a shout out to Joel Nielsen, who from North Whatcom Fire actually was able to get up in there and take this photo. He was a little bit more nimble than the rest of us. And what this photo shows you is kind of that these sidewalks that you're, some of which are in good condition, some of which are, the surface is not in great condition. The sidewalk is structural. The sidewalk, you're basically creating a tunnel using the building on the outside. So the building wall or the basement wall creates this tunnel. And what you're seeing to the right are these are structural beams and columns, reinforced concrete structural beams and columns, which we don't find historic drawings for. So at some point, this project was done, and we're not finding the historic drawings. So now, if you were standing there, we went in that opening where you see the sewer pipe there, the green sewer pipe. We went in that opening, and we're facing to the right. We're looking up towards the 700 block of Peace Portal. Now, if you were to turn around and look up, you would see where I've put the red arrow there. these sidewalks, they're not directly connected. We think that they all have a cold joint to the building, but they are next to the building. And it looks to me like they've poured the concrete right next to the building. And this is especially true on the west side of Peace Portal. But there are voids and crawl spaces because the utilities on the east side also run underneath the buildings. So what we've ended up with is the situation where we know there's voids under these sidewalks. We know that they're structural in some areas, and we know that they've been filled in some areas. But what we don't know is the exact way that they're connected to the buildings. And so we will move forward cautiously. There's ways to do non-destructive testing. There's ways to do ultrasound. There's ways to do other things to kind of determine which sidewalks are structural and which ones are not. But we want to make sure that we move forward, that we do not have some very negative consequences of our actions to the downtown area. So that was the big kind of unknown, especially on the west side, is that there could be voids next to these buildings that could have implications if we were to take the sidewalks out. So we wanted to get that in front of council right away. And then we shift to anybody that's walked downtown, and council, you've been downtown, none of the next stuff is going to surprise you. The street trees are causing some significant uneven pedestrian surfaces. They're causing destruction. They're lifting sidewalks. They're definitely much bigger when you see street trees, and part of it is a geometry issue, where when you see street trees of that size, normally you're seeing a bigger walkway. Normally, if you're in some of the surrounding areas, you're seeing a 20-foot sort of walkway, and here you're seeing a 7 to 8 foot walkway with a tree that size, and what it's doing is it's really reducing the walkway area, and it's causing the destruction, and you just have to walk down there. And from Clark to Marine, there's 38 of these trees. So there's a significant number of them. And then you have fire hydrants that either interfere with pedestrian travel or they're simply old. Many of your downtown fire hydrants are obsolete, and they're very challenging for the maintenance crews to maintain. So part of our goal would be to use the city standard hydrants when we do work here. We were working with the city staff, and we came up with some long-term goals. I mean, really the goal here is that we can define kind of a city standard block, and that we make it lower maintenance for the crews, and that the utilities, there's nothing worse than digging up a project that you just did, so we make the utilities longer term. Want the parklets to integrate with the pedestrian facilities, and features and wayfinding that draw positive attention to downtown. And we can talk about that more if we have time towards the end. And then WashDOT is doing a Cane Creek project, and we don't know the exact scope of this, but WashDOT is daylighting the creeks. And to daylight Cane Creek, that's going to have a very big impact towards Marine Drive of Peace Portal. So what we wouldn't want to do is create something fantastic that then WashDOT has to come behind and it doesn't work. So there's definitely a long-term project there. So those are the long-term goals. And then the near-term goals are the near-term project that we're really looking to do. We really want to get this underway in 24, is we want to resolve the street trees and the associated damage. Simply stated, not only do we want to fix what the street trees have done, but we want to keep them from doing more. We want to, remove, replace, whatever, to prevent that. Update the pedestrian amenities, the sidewalks. Address the sidewalks as much as we can with the structural concerns. Go into that and know what we're doing, and then try to come up with a longer-term, lower-maintenance sort of sidewalk. Move and repair the fire hydrants, and then construct the parklets, both at Clark and Martin, to get those done. And that cost range is shown, and again, it'll depend on how much we want to do and how many things we end up doing, but the cost range is there. And then the next step for that would be that we would like to hold, you know, we've worked with staff to hold an open house, not only for council to be able to see the drawings, but for the public to see the drawings. And we'll have a couple of concepts and get feedback on which way the city goes. And then from there, we're going to have to do some longer term projects. The downtown area needs some utility planning. It's got a sewer line, a water line. It's got stormwater sort of issues that you're going to need some long-term planning. And again, you want the utilities to be so that you can use them for the next 50 years and not dig up the street. So that's really kind of what we're looking for, that sidewalk stabilization. We would want to know that if those voids were there, that they've been properly filled, and that they're not going to be an issue either for the city in the right-of-way or the building owner. I mentioned the Cane Creek project, and then draw attention to downtown. In our contract, it talks about arches and stuff like that, but we've had a lot of discussions, both with the staff and in our office, about this could include things like not only the arches, but art. You know, you have a roundabout, you have that pork chop looking thing that is the I-5 entrance ramp. You have potential to draw far more attention to Blaine than is right there. And then we also discuss signage. Signage both from the south and from the north is not overwhelmingly drawing attention to Blaine. There's ways, we've had different ideas on that, and we've thought about that, you know. So we're going to present more ideas on that and get feedback, because it is a community effort. We want to make sure that we do what the community wants. So with that, that's my last slide. Just a couple of photos. But are there any questions? The goal would be to keep sidewalks that don't need repair, to either blast them, like do dry blasting. Well, and
those are already popping up.
Yes.
If you look, I mean, the street, the tree has already got that thing popped up.
The trees are a significant concern. So if we can keep many of the structural sidewalks, if you're interested, the structural sidewalks that I'm referring to that have those tunnels, if you look next to them, like if you were to go to the 600 block, you would notice that the trees haven't gotten very big compared to other areas of Peace Portal. And the reason is there's that structural wall there. The roadway is drained and there's that wall, so they haven't been able to do what is causing that sort of destruction. But I think you have to address the street trees, and you have to affix sidewalks such as the one that I have on the middle there. You have to address those, because the underlayment is not working. But there are some that you could save.
With the sidewalks on the west side of Peace Portal, are any of the sections at risk of complete failure?
I do not believe so. I haven't done a complete structural analysis. And the reason that I haven't is I don't have drawings as to how they're tied back. So they're either cantilevered, because if you go back to that tunnel photo, you can see on the lower left side the footing wall. Mm-hmm. Well, it would have to either have a large footing that goes in underneath the roadway, or it would have some sort of tiebacks that we don't see. So this is kind of a sins of the past sort of thing. I don't know the answer to that. Have I seen anything that's leaning? Have I seen anything? We've seen one area where water is causing a concern, and we'll get that information to the staff. That, and we're not 100% sure why water is getting there, but that is a concern that we do need to do more structural work to determine that.
Sonia, did you have a question? Sonia, did you have a question?
I did. I'm concerned about the Cane Creek project. Do you have any suggestions on who I might contact to find out in depth what's going to be going on? Because the Salish neighborhood is very concerned about the park and its future there.
I do not. Maybe Harpier does. Do you have any information about the Cane Creek project? I haven't been the point of contact for WashDOT with that. I just know it's coming.
Madam Mayor?
Please.
I did talk to WashDOT, and they are still in the very preliminary process of daylighting the Cane Creek down towards railway lines, right? So there's a lot of work actually before they need to work beforehand, before the actual work could be completed on site. So yes, it's still in the preliminary process with WashDOT.
Okay. Eric, you had something?
Yeah, the area that you had marked over on G Street and Portal as potentially high risk soil. How do you know that? Do you have any historical basis to see that? And if that is the case, what does that look like for development of that area?
That's a known ecology site. It's that the information was taken from ecology, and there's actually a red outline of what ecology believes. It's very faint, but what ecology believes is the contaminated soil area there.
What's sitting there right now?
There's a vacant building on the west side, and that's the gas station on the right.
Okay.
So the impact is you would have to address it. It's a known ecology site. There's a known cleanup plan. Yes.
That's the old Brayford Motor place. And rumor has it they dumped their oil.
That's where they used to. So talking with geoengineers, it's not insurmountable. It's hydrocarbons. It would be something that you would have to go in eyes wide open, knowing that you're going to have to clean that up. Like, for example, if we were to put the sewer line, the sewer line when it was done, I was trying to remember, it was right around 2001, they did it through pipe bursting. So they didn't actually dig it, and that might have been one of the reasons. But talking with geoengineers, it does add to project costs, but it's just something that you now know.
Okay, Karina, you had one?
I don't know if this question is better directed to Mr. Harmon or not. I imagine there are a number of property owners downtown that may be impacted by the sidewalk stabilization issue, as well as the tree issue. And I guess my question, a couple questions. One is, in terms of the sidewalk stabilization, knowing how long ago these buildings were constructed, has anyone recently looked at the property lines to ensure that what the city is responsible for, and where those property lines are versus what buildings owners are, and is there a potential concern that there may be some uneven property lines where you might have to worry about new rights of way? That's my first question. My second is, if there has to be sidewalk stabilization that could impact existing building owners, what type of community effort or collaboration would you foresee in terms of commercial disruption and potentially contracting with local businesses if you have to do some sort of, fixing or construction related to existing structures that don't belong to the city?
I'll go first. Thank you. So to the first question, we have not surveyed downtown to determine whether the buildings are in fact at the zero lot line or if they're over, if they're encroaching on the right-of-way. That's something that could be done as a part of this project. In terms of the construction and what the disruption is to the building, well, it all greatly depends. So what Greg showed you today is what we can see. It's what we know. There's a whole lot going on downtown that we can't see and we don't know. One of the things we talked about is bringing in some ground-penetrating radar or some ultrasound to find out, is there in fact soil or some sort of stabilization underneath these sidewalks, or are they empty caverns underneath there? So that's something that we're going to be asking the council to do. But it just depends on the extent of the sidewalk. Some of those are in decent condition. There's decent foundation. Others may have some real issues. One of the things that Greg may talk about later is in his research, it is likely or possible that some banding of the buildings happened across Peace Portal, so that one building is tied to another building across the street, and they're literally holding each other together. And so if we excavate that street to go fix our utilities, our sewer, we may disrupt those bands, and we may have some structural issues there. So there's a whole lot of unknown, and that's the question for council tonight. We can design, or Cascade Engineering Group can design as much as we want, but we've got to be able to afford the project, and we've got to be certain on what we're getting into. So how far do we want to go with this thing is the big question.
Ultrasound was going to be my question, is whether you were going to do that. Mary Lee, did you have questions for the presentation? Okay, I had a number of items here. Under sidewalk voids you showed there, quite often in a lot of cities, developers do really cool things where they actually get an easement from the city. If we own the sidewalk and the property line starts just past the sidewalk, a developer would put in a building where they get an easement under the sidewalk and they put those little blue heavy glass so they can actually get daylight going into or slightly bigger rooms that go under the sidewalk. There's all sorts of options like that. So when you were talking about potentially just bringing the old concrete truck and just filling up some of these voids for stability, my question is whether or not we'd put any thought into, it's hard enough to get developers that are willing to deal with that because they're on the cliff and there's so many engineering things they have to do to get a good building there, whether or not we want to leave in or take away the option of them being able to have under sidewalk use. So has as much any thought been put into that aspect?
We haven't gotten that far. And when you look at the under sidewalk, right inside that opening were the oil tanks for the old building.
Oh.
So people were using...
You mean home heating oil? Heating oil?
Yes.
Oil tanks?
Yeah, and the fill was actually up in the sidewalk with a water cover. But the bottom line is that, there's potential for that. We believe that that's not how this developed. That would be more like what's in Bellingham. This developed more as coal chutes and stuff like that. This obviously could be used, and the section that is in front of the 700 block is being used. So you have some potential for that. We're more worried about somebody thinks it's filled in, and it's not.
Yeah, of course.
That could be the bigger problem. But for example, in the 400 block, they have a window that looks up to what used to be a sidewalk grate. So there is potential for that, but I don't think a lot of potential.
Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure whether or not it had been looked at. Another thing about the trees, so many other cities have the right breed of tree and the right adult maximum size of tree. They get these kind of dwarfish kind of trees that are only ever about this big around and only get so big so that we can enjoy the there's a huge benefit to the beauty of the town and to the pleasantness of being there, having the trees on there. But obviously, we've got the disruption with the roots. So when you're saying, replacing or removing, you're certainly looking at the option of replacing with the right size, right breed, right maximum size of tree, right?
With a maximum size where you replace it. I mean, where it gets to the point where you take that tree out, you grind it, and you replace it on a, on a particular schedule.
Yeah, but a tree that's just never going to grow bigger than we've got the right grade in the first.
I'm not a tree person, but yes, we've asked them to look at that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying perhaps you should call a tree person when we're making
decisions. Yeah, we've asked them.
Give us some great options.
That,
yeah. Okay, are there any other questions from council about the presentation? Okay, well, thank you very much. We got through that very quickly. Was there no other items in the study session?
No other items of the study session. I just I wanted to remind council we did apply for state funding that has 700 feet of sidewalk work tied to it. So if we don't do a substantial amount of sidewalk replacement, we would lose those grant funds. So just kind of remember that as we go into this project.
And what year do we have to use those funds by?
By the end of this year.
End of this year.
Yep. Okay. And that's been already extended. We went to the legislator and asked for a reappropriation and an extension.
And one of the things that we're looking at with that is that we're fairly confident that the structural sidewalks end about 7 to 8 feet in from the buildings. So that whole brick tree lawn, which is still technically sidewalk, and the street trees, that whole area, there's potential to address that without having to worry about that. But that'll depend on what the ultrasound shows also for what's in the sidewalk.
Do you have an idea of how many lineal feet of sidewalk we're talking about replacing?
Well, that's...
Is it a lot more than the 700 feet, or...?
Yet you have in this area more than 700 feet. I was trying to remember, it was over 1,000 when I measured it, but and that's one side, so you have more than 700 feet. But again, the stuff that's on top of that looks fine. Like, you might want to pressure wash it or whatever, but that area I'm not sure I would worry about. So I think that's what our focus is going to be, is to get the standard block and then start going block by block with a very specific design.
What do you mean by a standard block?
Well, so you have street trees in particular areas. You have benches in particular areas. You have, you know, the amenities kind of flow. And you have basically standardization that you can use to say, okay, if you're developer X and you're going to do this next block, here's what we expect.
Okay, great. So in accordance with what the city manager was saying there, is a fairly settled selection of options going to come to council for a vote so that this can go into action soon?
Yeah, what we'd look for is some sort of direction from council on if you're interested in tackling this full project head on to replace sewer, underground utilities, those types of things, and really hit the downtown full force, like Greg mentioned, which with costs upwards of $5 million. Or do we want to take a look and maybe just do some of the sidewalk enhancements, some of the appurtenances and things, and keep it on the closer to $2 million, probably.
How much is it how much is the amount of money that we've got allocated to us that can only be used for this that we had better spend soon? How much is that?
Around $500,000.
Okay, so I'm 100% in favor of us definitely doing something that uses up that money that can only be used for this. It's going to go away if we don't.
Our goal is to bring you a package, unless you want to go with the full redesign of downtown, the full reconstruction, is to bring you a package that can be replicated so we can build consistency in our downtown as we can afford it. That's the goal. That's what Greg's talking about with the standard block. One thing to keep in mind is that the street surface belongs to WashDOT. So if WashDOT, they're not planning to program that street in the next 5 years, when that's ready to be resurfaced, those costs would be at the state level, not the city level. So anything we do on our own right now is going to be on our dime, the city dime, rather than WashDOT. So I think we need to keep that in mind. We are working to actively camera our utilities to determine their relative shape. It turns out our camera broke down, and we're working to fix that. But we're going to have an idea by the time we come back at the open public input meeting on what sort of shape our utilities in. We know that some of the private laterals in that area are not in very good shape. We know that our sewer has a couple bows in it where it's not flowing as it should, but we'll have more information next time and a recommendation on whether we think we need to replace the sewer main or not. But right now we're sort of angling toward what we can afford and a replicable standard city block that we can build over time as we can afford.
So Peace Portal is a state route?
Mm-hmm. Yep. the state has basically said to us, you take care of curb outside the curb, and the street service is ours. Okay, Mike. But in by right, to cut down any of the trees on Peace Portal, we need state permission. They do own from building to building.
Well, they do.
Essentially. Yep.
But we're entrusted with maintaining the sidewalks. They're entrusted with maintaining the surface of the street.
If we want it pretty, we got to make it pretty. Yep. That's the.
Mike, you had something.
The street portion, if there were some sort of structural problem concerning the upper portion of Peace Portal, would we be able to look to WSDOT to be able to step in and help with, or would that require legislative action potentially to assist with that? Who is ultimately responsible if there was something catastrophic that happened that interfered with Peace Portal?
Question, Mr. Chair. So the short answer is we can look to WSDOT and ask for some of their discretionary funds. They always have funds at the end of the year that are discretionary. However, what we're hearing loud and clear is that many of their projects are over budget and that their budgets are very tight with some of the fish passage requirements that they're required to enhance. And so those discretionary dollars just aren't out there to the extent that they were. We can always make an ask to our legislators. We're told, the mayor and I were on a conference call with our legislators, we're told 100 to 200,000 may be out there this session. So not big dollars.
Very good. Any other questions from council members?
I do.
Please.
Have you identified the most critical thing that we need to do? My main concern is we don't do something and then have to tear it up later to do something else. We want to start at the base and build up from that.
Haven't gotten there, but that is probably the concern that we go through with every meeting with the city staff, is that we really, we do believe that we might have to impact some sidewalks, we might have to impact some surface stuff, but we don't want to do that. That's something that we talk about every meeting. And every time I'm out in the field, that's what I'm looking at, is like, hey, can we do this long term? Because that's the ultimate goal. But at the same time, we know we have to do something about the street trees. But the answer to that is yes. And that's why the task orders have been issued in the way that they're issued, is that we will then build on the previous task orders to say, okay, this is the right way to move ahead. We should look at this sewer line, or we should look at the drainage.
So can you put together a list that's prioritized?
I have it's got the four that I already included, but I have I do a running list of possible things that we will look at, okay. But I keep a running list, and then we go over that with the city. And some of them are going to fall off the table because, like for example, the Cane Creek project, that's going to be a massive project. You're going to see it coming because Cane Creek runs under a building right now. It runs under the railroad. It actually undergrounds all the way across Peace Portal. For it to be daylighted is going to be a major project.
How do you daylight under state highway?
Well, you build a bridge, basically. The same thing they're doing on I-5 is you build bigger bridges that allow water to flow without going through pipes.
Sounds like they're going to rip out the roundabout that they just put in.
They're going to have to look at some options. So yeah, I mean that's currently our long term project list. But yeah, we definitely are moving slowly and looking at things and identifying them as we go.
Could you turn your microphone?
Replace the sewer main. I thought that got replaced the last time. It was in when they did the trees, because it isn't that long ago.
It's not. It was pipe burst. And so the question that we have, when you do pipe bursting, you keep the bellies, the lower portions in the middle of the pipe. And so by cammering it, we can tell if there's anything. And the other thing that they didn't do is they didn't replace the manholes. So there's potential that we would have to do some work to the sewer, but that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I remember one thing. I was amazed how deep that thing was because they had a track hoe out there and you couldn't even see it.
Yes.
It was down 18 feet is what they told me. It was that sewer was down there 18 feet. I just didn't realize it was that. Is it that low?
Yeah, it's got to be close because the buildings to the west, their basements drain to it. Mm-hmm. So that sewer in the middle of Peace Portal's got to be pretty low.
I mean, they had that whole thing cleaned, and then I thought they put a new whole sewer line.
The project that I saw is pipe bursting, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That's what we're going to do is run a camera down that pipe and assess the condition of our sewer.
Okay. Because
if that sewer's in really bad shape, that may have influenced the conversation one way or the other. If it's in good shape, now, right, maybe we could go this way. So we're gonna figure that out, and we'll have an answer.
We don't have to dig it up.
Yeah, you have a relatively new 12-inch water main, too, that's right in Peace Portal. So we're comfortable with where water is. The problem with water, though, is that water has a lot of old lines that they didn't replace when they put the 12-inch in. So maybe you want to do the laterals before you touch that street surface. Those are the same things that we really need to think through. The same thing applies to stormwater. You know, we really want to think through, you know, stormwater and a modern stormwater design before we would lock into a street.
We're looking at the potential of having ultrasound and other kinds of ways of detecting whether there are that street, both sides of the street tie together. Is there any other obstacles or things we need to watch out for?
That's what we have so far. I mean, we're in the pretty early stages, but yeah, that's what we have.
But that's something that can be done. The technology exists to be able to figure out what's under there.
Yes.
Great. Is there anything further from council? Okay, well then we're going to end the study session there. The regularly scheduled city council meeting will begin at 6:00.